Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sonata Software Limited Q1 FY25 Results Update Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Samir Dhir, MD and CEO, Sonata Software Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Welcome to this conference. We will discuss our strategy, the progress we have made in the recent quarters, our strategic plan, and the financial results for the quarter Q1 FY25 that just ended on 30th of June 2024. I thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your valuable time and support. It is my pleasure to share our progress regarding our vision and growth trajectory for Sonata. Despite the macroeconomic challenges, geopolitical issues, and slowdown of tech spending and decision delays across some of our verticals, let me cover an update on our strategic goals first, and then I'll cover the progress we made in Q1 FY25. So first, on strategic goals, as you know, our objective is to be one of the fastest-growing modernization engineering firms powered by our unique platform vision framework. We aim to achieve revenue of $1.5 billion by end of FY26 for the international business, with an EBITDA of low 20s. From a growth point of view, we outlined a few critical bets. We want to continue to win large deals. If you recall, we announced 14 large deals in FY24, and we're making good progress in that direction. We want to deliver strong M&A performance, and our most recent acquisition on Quant has been successfully integrating with our core business. And we want to leverage our partnership ecosystem with Microsoft, AWS, and other key partners, and continue to win new clients that can scale to be 10, 25 million, 50 million clients for Sonata in time to come. We want to achieve these three goals of winning large deals, of doing successful M&As, and building strong partnerships in four verticals that we have called out: healthcare life sciences, banking financial services and insurance, retail manufacturing, and high-tech, TMT. With investments in healthcare life sciences and BFSI verticals, we incubated these verticals in the second half of 2022. And we also want to focus only on five geographies, which are North America, U.K., Europe, India, and Australia. As you know, we modernize our clients' technology infrastructure using our differentiated Lightning tools, IP, and offerings. We're pleased to report that we're making significant progress towards our stated goals. However, we will need a few more quarters to reach our goal of $1.5 billion, as we outlined earlier. We probably will need two to four more quarters to reach those goals, given the macroeconomic slowdown. With that, let me provide you an update on each of the strategic vectors I just talked about. So let's talk about the large deals first. Our large deals pursuits are a significant part of our strategy, with 47% of our active pipeline coming from these high-value opportunities across our four verticals and geographies. Let's take a moment to celebrate the three significant victories we had in Q1 FY25. First deal is for a U.S.-based premier healthcare provider. Sonata will enable an optimum global delivery model and modernize their technology stack using hyperautomation and AI. Our teams will deliver cloud infrastructure modernization services and operations in a managed services model. This is an AI model-driven deal for us to modernize their technology infrastructure. As the client starts to move to a more managed model, we will move work from on-site to offshore in the coming two to four quarters. The second win we had is in the manufacturing and services industry in Australia. We have been chosen by the client as a partner to migrate legacy systems to the latest Microsoft technology platform for standardization and modernization, a move that will benefit the client in the long term. The third deal is for a banking financial services customer. We're very excited about this win. It's one of the top financial corporations in the U.S. Sonata has been chosen as a strategic partner to migrate on-prem-based applications to a SaaS VR platform on cloud. This is also a modernization deal. These three wins of large deals in this quarter underscore our commitment, our investments, both in the modernization engineering space and AI. The deals in manufacturing and BFSI I just talked about are margin accretive for Sonata both in the short and long term. The healthcare deal is not dilutive long term, but will have a short term margin impact for the next 2 to 4 quarters as we complete the transition and make the upfront AI investment needed for the deal. Let me cover the second strategic bet that we have talked about is an update on AI. If you recall, we talked about we expect 20% of our revenue to come from AI services in the next 3 years. Currently, we have 65 million pipeline across 110 clients and are excited to have new wins worth order book of about $1 million in the most recent quarter. In parallel, we're also driving AI adoption within Sonata functions from finance to HR to operations to sales and pre-sales. We have invested in an AI cross-functional organization led by Sharmila Shirikar to drive AI across Sonata and partner with CTO and sales organization to accelerate our go-to-market strategies, partnerships, research, and continuous strategy refinement as GenAI technologies are maturing. To give you an example, for the most recent win in healthcare, for a health tech client, we are harnessing the power of AI to ensure comprehensive and representative demographic coverage in clinical trials. Our client aimed to eliminate bias from the sample of people covered during clinical trials. We will use AI to ensure regulatory adherence for the client, drive demographic coverage, using GenAI to gather new regulations and automate the adherence process with requisite approvals inbuilt. Our Harmony.ai infrastructure was pivotal in enabling this deal win and subsequent AI model implementation. Our responsible first approach prioritizes ethics, trust, privacy, security, and compliance, and continues to empower our clients to make the right decisions. Across several clients, we are enabling GenAI-driven engineering scale, especially with our IntelliQA solution accelerator, which drives efficiencies in the software development lifecycle in itself. Approximately 67% of Sonatians are now GenAI level 1 trained, demonstrating our commitment to upskilling and potential of AI across our operations. With that, let me move to the third update, which is update on scale. As you know, we have been focused on driving accelerated outcome for our clients using modernization. Within that, cloud and data is a significant bet that we made. We have continued to make progress in cloud and data pipeline, and that now stands at 52% of our pipeline. To put this in perspective, more than half of the pipeline of Sonata is now from cloud and data. That number was about 15% 2 years back. Microsoft Fabric, as you know, Sonata is a proud of being a featured and launch partner of Microsoft Fabric, the data analytics platform for the era of AI, which was made generally available in November 23. Our expertise and unwavering endeavor helped us win 9 deals in Q1 of FY25. We continue to witness significant pipeline build for Fabric since its launch with a 46 million pipeline across 80 plus clients. Our team of 450 plus Microsoft certified Azure data professionals and 150 plus DP600 certified professionals enables our clients to leverage this new end-to-end analytics SaaS platform paradigm. Microsoft Dynamics, which has been the cornerstone of our success for many years, we won 5 mid-sized deals in the most recent quarter. The quarter witnessed success in continuous modernization in Dynamics, and green shoots were seen in the CE space and power platform pipelines. For one of our clients with operations across 17 countries, 20,000 farmer members, and 21 large retail stores, our CTRM.AI IP, we will modernize their agri platform, resulting in 27% more efficient operations and 15% reduction in farm to fork time to consumer as part of Agro 365 vision that we jointly created with the client. Our CITL business, with its focus on annuity business, continues to deliver consistent strong growth with industry-leading ROCE of 47.3% in Q1. In the most recent quarter, Sonata made its debut in the Brand Finance India 100 2024. We were adjudged as one of the top three fastest growing Indian brands with an 83% increase in our brand value. Brand Finance is the world's leading independent brand valuation and strategy consulting firm. Update on talent. We continue to focus our focus on attracting, engaging and developing high caliber talent to help achieve our business goals. Sonata University has been at the forefront of our capability building initiatives and saw increased usage and the acquisition of new skills as such as Gen AI. We are very proud of the progress we made on gender diversity. We have now reached 31%, an increase of 2% in the last 4 quarters on gender diversity. Our employee engagement and D&I programs have been recognized by SOCHAM in the most recent quarter. With that view on the strategy and update on our strategic choices and investments, let me now provide you an update on the Q1 FY25 performance. We are proud to be quickly back, bouncing back to growth after a decline in Q4 in FY24 due to large deal decision delays and associated costs. In Q1, the international services business grew 1.3% quarter on quarter. In constant currency terms, we have witnessed 1.4% quarter on quarter growth. In the most recent quarter, we saw an order book of 1.24, book to bill of 1.24 factor in the international services business. We are still pursuing another 49 large deals, which is in addition to the 3 deals we closed in the most recent quarter. In Q1 FY25, the 3 deals we closed had one of the Fortune 50 companies in the banking space. Our EBITDA before other income and forex grew sequentially 1.4%, a significant improvement from last quarter on EBITDA front, from 17.3% in Q4 to 18.7% in Q1. In SITL, our gross contribution in domestic business grew 7% quarter on quarter from 64.8 crores to 68.5 crores. Utilization remained steady at 87%. Quarter on quarter, our headcount increased by 198 FTEs, close to 200, with an overall attrition for the quarter being around 16%. We have now at 21 clients who have a run rate of more than 3 million annually at Sonata. Last year, same time, that number was 16. So we increased by 5. We moved from 16 to 21 clients with more than 3 million annual revenue run rate. In addition, we now have 12 clients with more than 5 million revenue run rate. In summary, we were and are optimistic about our long-term growth prospects. In coming quarters, we'll continue to face tailwinds and headwinds. The tailwinds will be due to the large deals and top client and HLS, healthcare and life sciences. We're very bullish about the progress we're making in large deals. We're very positive about the progress we're making in our top client and healthcare life sciences. We have headwinds too. On the headwind side, the deal decisioning continues to be delayed. The project completion at our clients in the UK, Europe and retail manufacturing will mean the slowdown in these three areas in the coming quarters. In addition, the large healthcare deal we just won will be dilutive for the first 2 to 3 quarters and will get to company profitability by end of the fiscal year. Team Sonata remains committed to judiciously accelerate the growth curve and build scale. Scale in terms of large clients, deals, markets, partnerships and talent. I want to take this moment to thank all Sonatians globally for their commitment and hard work, work ethics and quality of outcome they deliver for our clients. Thank you, and with that, let me turn it over to Jagan for his comments. Jagan?
Thank you, Samir, for the overview. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening all. Let me start with the update on international services business for the quarter 1 2025. International business, the revenue for Q1 was $82.7 million. Q-on-Q grew by 1.3% and year-on-year it was 6.9%. The Q1 rupee revenue stands at 688 crore, which is also 1.3% quarter-on-quarter growth and year-on-year 8.5%. In constant currency terms, the revenue witnessed 1.4% quarter-on-quarter growth and 7.5% growth year-on-year. Coming to profitability, international services EBITDA before forex and other income stands 18.7% against 17.3% in Q4 2024. This reflects the 1.4% improvement in the profitability in the current quarter. The PAT for international services stands at ₹65.1 crore, which was actually mainly influenced by a forex loss and a change in the taxation because of a SEZ moving from a 5-year to next level of 5 to 10 year bracket, resulting in impact on the overall profitability of the company also. The growth driven by top clients and the quant profitability offset by a transition and AI investments in the large deal, the new healthcare deal what Samir was mentioning now. At international services level, the Q1 2025 ROC stood at 18.8%, Q4 was 24%, and Q1 2025 RONW stood at 21.6% compared to 26.7% last quarter. This major impact is because of 3 months of borrowing have increased for us from $43 to $75 million. That was the reason for the impact. The returns have not reflected in spite of increasing in the profitability because of the loan amount increasing here. Domestic business, now I will talk about the domestic business. And our revenue for Q1 stands at 1849.4 crores, grew by 22.1% quarter on quarter and 32.9% year on year. The gross contribution in Q1-25 stands at 68.5 crores, grew 5.8% quarter on quarter and 10.7% year on year. PAT for Q1 was 40.5 crores, which grew 0.9%, grew Q on Q at 0.6% year on year. The DSO continues to be very, very strong in domestic business. It is 35 days compared to 36 days previously. The ROCE for domestic business has increased at 47.3% from 41.7%, mainly because of improved profitability as well as one of the loan amount which was taken for working capital purpose has been repaid. The consolidated business, our revenue for Q1 stands at 2,527.4 crore. It grew by 15.38% quarter-on-quarter and 25.4% year-on-year. PAT at consolidated business stands at 105.6 crores. It reflects a degrowth of 4.3% quarter-on-quarter and 12.1% year-on-year. Consolidated EPS for the quarter 4 was 3.81 per share. Quarter 1 was 3.81 per share compared to 4.33 per share last quarter. At console level, ROC stands at 23.5%. And RONW stands at 27.7% in this quarter. Moving on to some important operating metrics. Total headcount moved from 6,416 in Q4-24 to 6,619 in Q1-25. Net addition for the quarter has been 203. This headcount addition comprises of campus addition of 150 people at offshore and ramp up on on-site towards a large healthcare deal. Utilization in Q1-25 stood at 87%. Last quarter it was 87.4. Drop in utilization is mainly due to campus addition. Added 14 new customers in Q1-2025. Top 10 clients contributed revenue share of 50% compared to 52% last quarter. The number of clients more than 3 million run rate in Q1-25 is 21 customers compared to 16 last quarter. The vertical mix in Q1-25 is as follows. TMT is 36%. Retail and manufacturing is 34%. HLS is 10% and BFS is 16% and emerging is 4%. Revenue by top GTMs or data is 16%, Dynamics is 25% and Cloud is 39%. As mentioned by Amir, our data and cloud also occupies more than 50% of our pipeline at present. The Q1-25 order book stood at 1.24x of international services business. Our international services DSO for Q1 was 45 days, which is same as the last quarter. In summary, we continue to remain optimistic about our long-term growth prospects. Thank you. With that, let me turn to moderator for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Dheeraj Dave from Samvad Financial Service. Please go ahead. Dheeraj, sorry, your voice is not clear. Can you please come in a better reception area, please?
Sure. Can you hear me now?
Little better, yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So my one question is basically we seen this healthcare deal kind of resulting into EBITDA margin, and management also suggested that it would, like, margins would be resuming to normalcy by end of FY25. Can you, means basically, what are the factors basically why we have seen the decline in profitability, and where, by what time we shall expect the previous level, whether we are striving to reach that? Management gives some color, maybe what is the basis point decline because of EBITDA margin, which can be explained by new deals or whatever.
Yeah. Hi, this is Jagan here. This is a large deal of 7-year deal. This is one of the largest deals in the recent time. What we have agreed with the customer is it's a modernization deal, and this involves in the development of a AI platform in the initial period, and that will be deployed in continuous in their system for some time, and then hand it over the IP to them. In this model, secondly, they have their own employees also. We are rebadging them, employees, on-site employees in the initial period. And over the next few quarters, we will be doing more offshoring in the coming days. So this two component of on-site, more on-site in the initial days, and the investment for the AI platform development is going to decrease the profitability from this deal. It's not loss. It is only decreasing the profitability from the deal. It will recover back to the towards move to the company average. After the 3 or 4 quarters, it will move towards the company average. Overall, the deal is very much above the company's average margin also.
Thanks a lot. And secondly, Jagan, basically we do get this C-suite link also, and there we find couple of slides being which are not appearing in presentation. So my suggestion would be if you can integrate and give one presentation, because I was actually, every time I get confused when finance team comes, we have 4 or 5 slides which are not part into the main deck. So rather than two presentation in two ways, why can't we have a consolidated presentation? And that will make everyone, so means basically we can focus on concall as well. Otherwise, we are looking at one presentation, some slides, data points which you talk, they come in C-suite slides, but that's not available into the main presentation.
Okay.
My request is if you can integrate one and give only one presentation, that would be good. Wish you all the best. Yes,
thank you. Thank you. Definitely we'll consider that.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akshada from Vivo Commercial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have a couple of questions. So far, still international growth has still kept and has been a little under what we would have, or I would have expected. So why is that the case? I do understand there were some deferments, but are we expecting those to continue? And my second question is regarding the guidance. Do we maintain the guidance for FY26? Thank you.
Okay, I want just to give a clarification on this. I'll start with the guidance for the year. Our guidance has been our growth will be industry beating growth. We have not given any specific numbers for the growth in this year. Please.
No, I mean the FY26 guidance.
That is meeting of $500 million and $1.5 billion target.
Correct.
That will be delayed. I've been telling in for the last at least one quarter. That will be delayed at least by a couple of quarters more. That is our expectation now.
Okay.
Coming to this deal, the momentum in the revenue growth, pipeline is strong, order book is strong, but as we said, the revenue momentum, particularly for BFSI and for healthcare, will bounce back, but BFSI will take a little while. So we expect the momentum in the revenue growth to come by Q3 of this year, but it will be a positive growth for Q1 and Q4.
Akshay, this is Sameer. Let me just add to what Jagan said. So if you recall back in May when we talked about, we guided that we'll be between 1 to 3% for Q1 and Q2, which was our expectation, and I think we come within the range of what we had guided for in the first half of the year. We fully expect to come back on growth to our old growth rates by the third quarter of this year. I think that's something that we're working on. We're very excited about the pipeline and the order book that we have. But the first two quarters of the year, we had seen that back in January, March quarter, that these will be little softer quarters for us. That's point number one. Point number two, when we guided for being a $1.5 billion company, that was about 2 years back, and the market scenarios were different. So we do expect about 2 to 4 quarters delay on the original plan, but we're still very much pushing and working towards getting to the $1.5 billion with maybe about 2 to 4 quarters delay on the overall run rate we talked about earlier, Akshada.
So as we are able to book more contracts, it's just that we are facing a little bit of delay in order to start those said contracts. And because we're also, making expenditure to fulfill the contracts, that's why margins have also been a little hampered and revenue has been pushed back a couple of quarters at least, as in the, has been what you've been facing so far.
That is correct. So if you recall, our earlier large deals were closing in about 1 to 2 quarters, average was about 2 quarters. That lead time for closing has now become about 3 to 3.5 quarters. So we have definitely seen that decision delays impacting our ability to close large deals from a longevity perspective or duration point of view. However, because we have, like I said earlier, we have 49 large deals, so we're still very optimistic about the momentum to keep catching up as we address this decision delays that we've been seeing in the marketplace. So that's what is explaining the Q1, Q2 softness that we have seen, or compared to our own run rate, that's what we guided earlier. We have seen that coming, that's why we guided the market that for 2 quarters we'll see slightly lower than expected growth of our own run rate. As far as the margins are concerned, clearly the healthcare deal that we won, like Jagan alluded to, this is a transformation deal with AI built in. So we're going to make an investment in the deal itself in the next 3 quarters to make sure that we can transform the AI estate. And also this is a largely on-site deal right now. We're going to move the work from on-site to offshore. And as we move the work from on-site to offshore, our profitability will kick back in latest by Q4 of this year. That's what our expectation is right now.
So what is the expected revenue for the US-based healthcare deal that we were just talking about?
We can't disclose, unfortunately, the revenue size of the deal, but it's in our parlance, it's a large deal, Akshita.
Okay. Okay.
And just one more quick point. It's a very important deal. It's a 7-year program. We took a conscious call to take a short-term hit for the long-term benefit of the company. We think it's a strategically important deal. It's one of the key premier providers in the U.S. market. So it opens up the whole provider market for Sonata as we move forward. As you know, healthcare vertical was incubated by us about 2 years back. For us to open a 7-year large contract is pretty significant step for us. Yes, it's a dilution for 3 quarters, maybe 2 to 3 quarters, but we fully expect this will be accretive to company come late Q4 and definitely Q1.
This is the largest deal in the recent past for us.
Okay, that's great. But my last question is the decision delay that you've been facing and the industry has been facing. Do we have, any data or, any momentum that can tell us that in the next 2 quarters things would get better? Or is it more of an industry assumption so far?
It's largely the industry headwind. Industry is pretty broad term, Akshita. For the markets and the industries that we operate in, the verticals we operate in, which is healthcare, banking, retail, and high tech, we're definitely seeing some delays. And we think in the client base and the vertical that we operate in, it's catching up. The delay cycle is catching up. And as the pipeline builds up, we'll be back on our old growth rates.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Suraj Malu from Catamaran. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you please provide what is the employee expense, other
Suraj,
expense,
sorry,
other
expense? Can you speak a little louder, please?
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you please share the, for the domestic business, what is the employee expense, and other income for this quarter?
No, this quarter there is no... There is no exceptional other income or other expenses for this quarter in domestic business. It's a regular one, normal investment income and forex, whatever it was there. That is the only component in other income. Other expenses also doesn't have anything more. Employee expenses is in line with the business growth. We have added few more people in the business. So the cost is reflective of the in line with the revenue growth normally. Slightly more, few more people have been added.
Got it. Is it possible to share the absolute amount?
Difficult, yeah. We don't share it outside because that for one quarter, if I share, I have to share for every quarter. This will be, there's nothing to hide, but for that business, the product cost is more important than the employee cost. So we continue to hold it at that stand.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mihir Manohar from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead. Mihir, may I request you to unmute your line and go ahead with your question, please?
Hello. Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, now you're audible. Go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to understand on this absolute EBITDA. I mean, when I see the full press release, the full press release for international business, the EBITDA is 143 crores. The EBITDA for 1QFY25 for the international business in the press release is 129 crores. So in that context, there appears to be a 9.9% degrowth versus the 9.5% growth that you have mentioned in the press release. So how to understand it? Is there any typo or anything like that?
Can you come again on the question?
Okay, so basically, I mean, when we see 4Q24 press release, the international business EBITDA is 143 crores.
Hmm.
And in this particular quarter, international business EBITDA is 129 crores.
Okay. Hey, that is one important change we have done. We have put a star and given that. This is what we have started giving is EBITDA before other income and forex. Because everywhere else we disclose only EBITDA before other income and forex. We synchronize that in line with the all other presentations. Hence we change this also.
Okay, understood. So last quarter 143 crores had other income and forex.
Other income and forex. This quarter it doesn't have.
Okay, understood. Sure. Second question was on the fact, last time we were saying that there were some undeployed resources which were there on the on-site because of the healthcare deal, one of the healthcare deal that did not ramp up on the expected lines. So, I mean, have we deployed these undeployed resources which were there, or is there any some part of the impact still pending?
So let me take that, and just on the first point as well, Mihir, the EBITDA for the international business is up by 1.4% quarter on quarter. So in terms of percentage, we have definitely gained ground on EBITDA, just to clarify that point. On the point about the deal in itself, so while we have closed the healthcare deal, there was another healthcare deal that we mentioned in the last quarter. That deal has actually gone on hold at this point in time, so customer is not taking any decision at this point. So we have withdrawn all the investments from the deal, and that has those investments have been redeployed into other areas, including this new large deal that we just announced.
Sure, understood. Just two questions. Is the wage hike impact there for the full part of the year? I mean, when was the wage hike given? And last question was on the margins of the domestic business. Now, when we see margins in domestic business, there's like 2.6%, which is like close to 11-12 quarter low. So how to understand the margins in the domestic business? You know, why they have corrected this particular year? When you see the absolute EBITDA for domestic, it's like 16% down. So how to see margins for domestic? Those are the questions.
Yeah. Hey, please don't measure the business with percentage of margin. You have to take the absolute amount of gross contribution. It was around 64.5 last quarter, it's 68.4 this quarter. The gross contribution has grown up. So that is the way we measure the business. We don't see this because most of this business, the margin, absolute amount of margin will grow only with volume. So this quarter, if you see last quarter, the revenue was somewhere around 1,346 crores something. Now this is 1,826 crores type of revenue we have got. So you have to measure this business only on the absolute amount of gross contribution. We don't see the percentage of profit because that is not the way we see this. This is volume driven, high volume business with low margin. We are, so depending on the mix of the products, each quarter it will vary. You can't measure it exactly with that.
Sure. Other question? Yeah, and wage hike. I mean, when is the wage hike effective from?
Pardon?
Wage hike.
This Q2, we are planning for wage hike for the junior management, and Q3 will be for middle managers and senior managers.
Sure, sir. Understood. Okay, that's it for my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chirag from Ashik Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, just one question. You mentioned that 3 years down the line, we are expecting 20% of the revenue from generative AI and all. So what sort of margin and operating profile of work we looking in this area? Yeah,
so I think the margin for the current wins in the pipeline that we have is accretive to the Sonata average margin. So we are definitely seeing an uptick because these are, generally speaking, more business-driven deals and IT-driven deals, because most of the sale and projects that we're winning is really working with the business stakeholders directly. The example I talked about, the health tech client, is also a sell into the business side of the house. So margins are accretive to the average and other margins.
Okay. And one more question. As we expect H2 is likely to be better than H1, which vertical and geos do you think will push the growth or accelerate the recovery in comparison to H1?
So, Chirag, just 2 points. I think we expect H2, the growth to be higher than H1 based on our recommendation, but we'll see gross margin pressure because of the large deal we just talked about. We'll see some pressure on that for only for 2-3 quarters like we mentioned earlier. But revenue definitely will be higher than the first half, is our current estimate at least. As far as the verticals are concerned, we are seeing very good momentum in the high-tech vertical. I think overall in the high-tech, especially with the largest client of Sonata, we are seeing good momentum there. I think that momentum we fully expect to continue going into the second half of the year as well. The healthcare vertical is definitely in the up right now for us. We had a good successful first quarter. We expect it to continue to grow as we move forward. And then banking and financial services, not insurance so much, but banking side of the business, we are definitely beginning to see some green shoots there. So I think that will kick up again. On the not-so-good side, like I said earlier, the retail business is going to be soft in the next 2-3 quarters.
So generally what I've seen in the commentary of the other peers in the market, that they are more experience the stability kind of stable kind of spending from a insurance set of client, and where we see some sort of muted sort of based on your commentary. So why such divergence is there?
Because our portfolio on insurance is relatively small. If you look at our BFSI portfolio, I think the insurance portfolio will cover 20% of it. So we are not a very scaled insurance provider. So our comment is very specific in that sense. But banking side, we are definitely seeing the momentum coming back up, including the large deal we just announced.
And within banking, can you highlight the area like this?
Sorry, you're breaking up.
I mean, within banking, which areas you think accelerate the momentum?
Within banking, the bulk of the work we're doing from a technology perspective is in the data and cloud side, but on the, if you look at the division of banking, it's largely the retail banking side of the equation.
Okay. Thank you all the very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Edelweiss Public Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Sameer and Jagan. Few questions. So when you say this new deal is margin dilutive for first few quarters, what is the base that you are assuming to be margin dilutive from? Because in last two quarters, we are trending at a lower than Sonata's average in terms of margin in our international business. And this quarter, you have changed the definition of EBITDA margin as well, the way you report it. So when you say dilutive, are we looking at dilutive from low 20% kind of a number, or from the current levels of margins? If you can clarify that.
Yeah. A couple of points I have to share with you. We have not changed the way that EBITDA is reported. EBITDA was reported in all the places, investor presentation, earning presentation, everywhere. it was reported as a EBITDA before Forex and other income. This was also an input from a couple of analysts from like you, who earlier gave us the input that we measure only by EBITDA before other income and Forex. So we started reporting in that way. It is almost like more similar to EBIT, what you people measure on that. So we are synchronized. We thought that press release alone is having after other income and Forex, so we standardized that. The second point is we have headwinds in this Q2 and Q3 due to salary increase, wage revision. The third point is this deal is also little dilutive on the margin compared to company margin. It is not a loss-making deal, but it is little dilutive compared to the company average margin level. Hence, we said there will be an impact of it. But coming to the EBITDA margin, we said the last quarter margin was the lowest point of margin. We have improved this quarter and we are trying to be in this range of margin. But we may not be the 20%, early 20s margin we will reach by end of this financial year. That has we have committed earlier. And we are still positive towards that plan. So this will be a range bound between what we reported in Q4 and the direction of the EBITDA will be in this range only.
No, thanks a lot, Jagan. That clarifies. Now, coming to the point of, you mentioned there are some green shoots in BFSI domain, more in banking. This is a thing that most of the other of your most of your peers have also highlighted. They have also highlighted that there is some green shoots even in discretionary spends. But going by your comment, it feels like the indecisiveness in terms of closure of deals is pretty much at a similar level where it was in last quarter. So is there any reason for this divergence? One is that. And secondly, related to BFSI, we had a deal in Quant also, which a fintech deal, if I'm not wrong, which was delayed. So where are we on Quant and are we completely on top of how the seasonality works in that acquisition? So yeah, a few questions, but you'll get the gist of it.
Yeah, let me see if I can answer each of them one by one. So the large deal that we just announced is the joint Quant and Sonata deal. To answer your question, so that's the one that we just announced, the third deal. We're very excited about it. Now, as far as your question is concerned of seasonality, I think yes, absolutely we have factored in seasonality. If you recall, in Q4, January-March quarter, we did see softness in the Quant business, and that was largely seasonally driven. And I think even in the next Q4, our Q4, January-March, we'll see seasonality effect in Quant again. That's just the cycle of the business that Quant runs. So that's on the seasonality side. The third question that you had was on the discretionary spend. So the growth that we're seeing in banking is largely on the discretionary side. What my comment was on the large deals. So large deals are taking still longer time in across verticals, but the discretionary spend is opening up in small to mid-sized projects. But we still continue to see large deals taking time as much as it's not closing as fast as they were probably closing earlier. So it's consistent to that extent from industry. The discretionary spend has definitely opened up. May not be in big deals, but definitely the signs are there. It's opening up. Banking.
Great. Thank you for that. Last question is on Microsoft, right? I mean, that's one of the biggest clients for us in terms of selling to and selling through Microsoft. Now, if I listen to the conference call of Microsoft, I see a 20% kind of a jump in terms of Fabric paid customers for Microsoft on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So when we think about monetization of this relationship that we have specifically on Fabric, how should we look at this paying customers for Microsoft and monetization opportunity for us? That is one. And on Dynamics also, if I'm not wrong, what happened last quarter was, you know, the F&O vertical, which is finance and operation, there were some, headwinds there while sales up was doing better. What is the situation there? If you can highlight some bit on Microsoft, that would be very helpful.
So let me take the second part of the question and then come to the first part. So the Dynamics, as far as F&O is concerned, we've definitely seen a stronger order book in Q1. and I think that will reflect in our coming quarters in Q2 and Q3 both. So I think the dynamics business is back on the growth rate that we had anticipated. So we're not concerned about the dynamics part per se. As far as the question is concerned on the fabric side, now what Microsoft has done is they have really combined their Power BI and fabric businesses largely, and the number that you're seeing is a combination of Power BI and fabric. What we are talking about is the fabric on its own, not Power BI included, and we continue to see some good momentum in the power in the fabric side. So some of the new logos that we opened recently, we announced a few last quarter, even this quarter we opened several new logos. Fabric is helping us open those logos because it's a very differentiated Sonata offering at this point in time, so it is helping us scale it out. Now with fabric, what happens is you get into a client, a new client, you do a proof of concept, it takes about 2 to 3 quarters, and then you start to piece up to a larger deal of data transformation overall. So we're still in that phase of the first part of the data project coming up. In fact, we just closed another mid-sized deal on Fabric, which is a multi-year contract on data modernization because of Fabric. So the Fabric initial momentum is beginning to build up. To be honest, I would not say that we are seeing very large deals on Fabric right now, but it's beginning to see some deals coming up of mid-size at this point in time for us.
Great. Thank you. That's it from my side, and all the best.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Vipul Kumar from Sumangala Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, what should be a sustainable margin for the company? Because we are trending lower and lower as far as margin is concerned, from low 20s to now we have reached around 18.5. So what should be the sustainable margin for the company?
First of all, we have clarified this that the medium-term outlook is low 20s only. We will continue to aim to achieve the low 20s. We are expecting that by end of this year, we will reach a low 20s margin level. So we don't have our plan continues to be there for that. The second point is we are not trending lower compared to last quarter. We have improved by 140 bips. This quarter, which is like a significant jump for in the EBITDA trend, and we have been telling from last quarter that it will take 2 to 3 quarters for us to improve the margin. This year, because of couple of large deals as well as the investments for our long-term growth and our continued investments in AI and Microsoft Fabric, it has impacted the margin over a period of time. Plus, the softness in the growth of Quant, particularly with the high margin customer, it was also not helping us in improving the margin. However, just to give a confirmation for you, the company margin will be in low 20s only, and we in the couple of quarters will reach there.
And sir, how do you define a large deal? It is more than 5 million?
Yeah, more than 5 million is what we have internal metrics for a large deal. That's exact the criteria.
Would it be possible to share total TCV like all your large peers share?
No, we have not disclosed, but we said out of the total pipeline, more than 40% is constituted by large deal. And what we have announced is as a healthcare deal, it's the largest deal in the recent past.
Okay, and lastly, sir, I think that if you leave out Quant, we have degrown organically. So is that observation correct?
Not exactly. We have told multiple times that you cannot take Quant separately. That's a legal entity reported for the purpose of the earnout calculation. However, we have integrated both Quant and Sonata very, very tightly now. There are project papers signed in Sonata delivered by Quant, and Quant signed papers in Quant papers but signed delivered by Sonata. It is very difficult to split this and then measure the growth. Growth in the revenue.
Okay, thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dipesh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. First, about the healthcare deal which you refer. So just want to understand ramp up plan, because it is fairly large, a long 7-year deal kind of thing. So how one should look from ramp up perspective, because it is re-waging, obviously it would be immediately revenue contribution kind of thing. But as we develop AI platform, how we expect revenue model to be on that platform side for us? And then subsequent, how you expect it to trend? Second question is about the large deal. So overall TCV, which we said 1.24x, considering healthcare deal might be disproportionate to the way we give order book 1.24x, any adjustment made pertains to it, or it is including that healthcare deal in the number? Third question is about Quant. Now, Quant has some earnout link performance, right? That is how we have taken some hit in the last year. Whether it is tracking those expectations. Thanks.
Okay. I'll take the third question first. Quant has come back to the growth track now compared to last quarter. However, we have their major growth as every year comes in the second half of the calendar year for them. So quarter two and quarter three, we expect them to bounce back in the growth trajectory. Your second question was on order book. 1.24x, what we do is any deal beyond 25 million, we take only the annual revenue for the purpose of calculating book to bill. In this 1.24x also, we have factored only that much for the purpose of calculation. The first question, Samir will take that.
Yeah, so I think your question about large deal ramp up, it was a rebadging deal. So the rebadging activity has happened in late June and early July. So that is behind us at this point in time. But we are ramping up offshore now and ramping up the AI delivery model for them so that we can build the engine out for them. So that ramp up is happening. I would say a large part of the deal is going to be fully baked into the Q2 run rate as we move forward.
My question was about the, because I think subsequently you are supposed to develop AI platform for the client. What would be the revenue model for us? So it is like any T&M fixed kind of project, and then we will not benefit from the activity on that platform, or we have some upside to the platform activity also?
We have upside to the platform. That's why the margins will accrete in about 2 to 3 quarters from now, because we are investing upfront. But come Q1 of next year, that will be accretive to the company. So it will increase for two reasons. One, we are moving work from on-site to offshore. That's one vector. And second point is that the AI power will kick in, and hence we'll be able to do the work more efficiently. So both the factors will then benefit Sonata.
Understand. And in 7 years, any other subsequent uptick is expected, or then it would be more steady state deal kind of?
There is an uptick expected, because they are part of their business is being hived off to a new entity. So we are in conversation with them to be a service provider to the new Hivedoff entity as well, but that will probably take another couple of quarters to materialize. So yes, there is upside.
Understand. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mayank Babla from Enam Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Good evening, Samir and Jagan sir. Thank you for taking the question. Hope you're doing fine. The first question is to Samir regarding your comment on retail and manufacturing. So you said we are expecting some softness for the next quarters. I wanted to understand the softness will be with respect to, you know, in perspective with the Q4 and or Q4 FY24 growth of you.
Sorry, we are losing your audio in between.
Is this better?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you comment on gear and manufacturing? I wanted to understand the softness in growth will be, if you meant that it will be softer compared to Q1 F25 growth or Q4 FY24 growth?
Yeah, so I think there are two parts. It's not with reference to one particular quarter, Mayank. I think our other businesses are, like, especially in high-tech and healthcare, are in a nice pace growing up. we are seeing sometimes flattish, some quarters are declining, some quarters are marginally up. So we're not seeing the kickback of growth in retail and manufacturing at this point in time. The comment was not respect to one quarter or two quarters. The general trend that we are seeing. Retail, if you recall, four quarters back was one of the strongest growing vertical for us, but it has definitely slowed down since. But the good news is TMT and healthcare are back on the growth rates.
Sir, the line for the participant dropped. We'll move to the next participant.
Okay.
Next question is from the line of Suraj Malu from Catamaran. Please go ahead.
Sir, for the international services business, if we look at EBITDA including other income, it's around 138 crores. And the net profit after tax is 65 crores. Can you help reconcile these numbers, like the line items between these, EBITDA and net profit? Can you just give help with the numbers for those?
Sir, there will be definitely forex and other income will be there. Then amortization of intangibles is there. Then depreciation is there and tax is there. So amortization and intangibles, we have given in our earnings presentation. Every quarter we give that, how much is the amount is there. You can take it from there. That is a major portion because it's an acquisition, because of Quant acquisition and the earlier acquisition, the amortization amount will be there. It's almost like a 55, 54 crores of amortization will be there, apart from depreciation, tax and forex and other income. This quarter, forex and other income would have been, other income will be positive, but forex will be a negative impact.
And net-net, that total other income will be around 9 crores, right?
Other income was, I don't remember offline the number, but the forex, there is a loss for this quarter. One second, I'll just tell you. The total other income and forex together is about 9 crores, correct?
Got it. Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tushar from Intrad Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yep.
Yeah. So this was regarding the AI engagements with the top client. So it is predominantly with the cell 2 or are you seeing engagement with the cell with segment also? And regarding the rebadging, so most of, large part of the rebadging is done in the 1Q employee base or some rebadging will be coming in 2Q?
Yeah, so let's just take the AI question first, we'll then answer the healthcare deal question. So on the AI side, we're seeing good momentum both on Cell 2 and Cell with. On the Cell 2 side, we are helping our client transform their customer support operations using AI and enabling the efficiency of the customer support desk of our customers. We're also helping them move other data sources and enabling from a Microsoft AI perspective, the other data sources are coming up and enabling that whole infrastructure for them. So it's a significant part of the work. There's a significant volume of work being done with from a Cell 2 perspective at this point in time. From a Cell with perspective, like I said, we work with both AWS and Microsoft to sell with the clients from an AI, and the health tech example that we just talked about earlier, the travel example that we talked about in prior quarter, they're all examples, or the telecom example that quarter before, they're all examples where the Cell with is kicking in to help us transform the customer estate using AI again. That's on the AI side of the question. On the rebadging side, like I said earlier, the large part of the rebadging is behind us at this point in time. There might be a few pieces left, but largely late part of June and early part of July, the rebadging is done.
That's it from my side, and that's
it. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vikram Gupta from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead. Vikrant, may I request you to come in a better reception area? Your voice is breaking.
Yeah.
Vikrant, we are unable to hear you. May I request you to come in a better reception area, please? Sir, the line for the participant dropped. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Mayank Babla from Enam Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I got the answer to the first part of my question. Sameer, if you could highlight, you know, which sub-segments are you seeing softness in the retail and manufacturing, please?
Yeah, so I think on the retail side, generally consumer-facing retailers, mostly online, is where we have seen the softness, Mayank. And manufacturers, I would say, across the board, we have seen some softness.
Okay, sure. And sir, my second question was to Jagan, sir. So there was a loan taken for the Quant acquisition, and we had planned to gradually pay it off through FY25 and 26. Could you give us an update on that, sir?
Yeah, we have taken a loan of around $55 million when we acquired Quant. We were expecting the RBI issue, which is a procedural issue, to be completed, but it is still going on, and it may take a couple of quarters more for us to come out of that issue. For us, hence not able to use the corporate pool of money here in India to repay the loan. So we are continuing the loan, and we have to do an additional borrowing now in the month of March 2024 to pay the first installment of earnout, which is about very close to $55 million. So we have increased the loan. 55 was paid, around 12-13 million was paid, and net balance was $43 million by end when we converted the loan to a $75 million loan, which helped us to pay the earnout, and the balance amount was funded internally.
Okay. Fair enough. So thank you for taking my question. Best of luck.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jay Daniel from Entropy Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have given your long-term vision of going from 1 billion to 1.5 billion. Earlier you said you will get there by FY26. But your presentation now says it will be 3 to 4 years, which means FY28. And just a 10% CAGR over 4 years. So, I mean, can you, reconcile these two numbers?
No, it was 3 to 4 years sometime back. Originally, when we put the slide, we have not amended it. The FY26 target, what we have updated is, it will be delayed by a couple of quarters. 2 to 4 quarters, it will be delayed.
Okay. And sir, in respect of your pipeline, what is the total value of your pipeline?
We have not disclosed the total value of pipeline.
Yeah, because last quarter, I think you said 60 million was your pipeline for AI, right?
Correct.
And that was some 20% of your total pipeline. So your pipeline comes to around 1.1 billion.
We have not given the percentage as such. We told the total absolute value of the pipeline. And that pipeline has grown a lot this quarter. It definitely has been growing. This quarter, we have mentioned that more than 52% of our pipeline is data and cloud. We have not mentioned the value for the same.
And your conversion rate is 35-40%?
Conversion rate is 35-40%, correct.
Okay. And in respect to the salary, you're saying there's going to be a hike in Q2 and Q3 of this year. Correct? But your salary is already up 13% Q1Q and 11% year on year. 11% Q1Q and 13% year on year.
No, the salary, total salary increase for the year, as we mentioned, we have added 150 campus additions during the quarter, as well as the attrition replacement, plus on-site rebadging of the people. So all these things have added to the cost of the salary for us.
Okay, so now in Q2 and Q3, this will go up from the 369 crores that you mentioned.
It will go up depending on the salary increase. One component of it depends on how much addition we have, attrition we have. Various other factors also play a role, but it will go up.
Okay, and in respect of the deals that got delayed, one was a large healthcare deal, which now you're saying it's put on hold and not likely to be revived. There were other deals also which had got delayed in Q4. Any updates on that?
Those are some of the deals that converted this quarter. So the healthcare deal we just announced today, while the second healthcare deal got parked right now, it's not lost, but it's parked. Some of the deals that we announced were in the pursuit in Q4. They got closed in Q1. And like I said, there are other 49 deals that we are still in pursuit for.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I'll now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Gheer for closing comments.
I just want to take this moment to thank all of you for joining us today. We appreciate all the support and your time today. And I also want to take this moment to thank all the Sonatians globally for their commitment and hard work to keep moving Sonata in the right direction in terms of our strategic vision. Thank you all for joining us today. We'll speak to you in a quarter's time.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Sonata Software Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.